really all it takes is getting over yourself. And I have things that I hate about the way I look, the way I sound. I hate my laugh. I hate a lot of things about the way my physical appearance is. It doesn't matter. People don't see you the way you see you. And if I called out those things, you would literally be like, what are you talking about?
This is the Inner the Buzz podcast, helping smart businesses be even more innovative.
Hi, I'm Jürgen Strauss from InnovaBiz. Firstly, Happy New Year 2018, and welcome to episode number 101, the first of the second 100 of the InnovaBuzz podcast, designed to help smart businesses committed to innovation, service, and modern marketing become even more innovative. In this episode 101, I'm really excited to have as my guest Luria Petrucci of Live Streaming Pros. Luria is a self-confessed geek and was an early adopter of video and live streaming. She has appeared on TV shows, she's hosted corporate live stream events, and is an expert in using video to grow and market any business. We talked about the power of video to build relationships and to share content, as well as the benefits of live video. We also talked about how important it is for everyone to be producing content and how to go about that and making it a habit. This is another fascinating, inspiring, and educational interview. So, without further ado then, let's fly into the hive and get the buzz from Luria Petrucci. Hi, I'm Jürgen Strauss from InnovaBiz, and I'm really excited to have as my guest on the InnovaBuzz podcast today, all the way from Washington State in the USA, I believe. I might be out of date there, but we'll check in a moment. Luria Petrucci of Live Streaming Pros and Geeks Life. So Luria is an expert on using video to grow and market any business. And she was an early adopter of live streaming videos and, in fact, videos in general many years ago. So welcome to the podcast, Luria.
Thank you so much for having me.
And whereabouts are you now?
Yes, you're right. I'm Washington.
Okay. All right. So I did get that right.
Still border from Portland, Oregon.
Okay, yeah, because I read Portland somewhere and I thought, maybe you've moved some since that was published, but yeah.
Yeah, so. It's literally 20 minutes away.
Okay. All right. Now, you've appeared on television shows, you've hosted corporate live stream events, you do publish live videos many times a week, every single week, and you have been doing that for years. You've got a huge collection of really valuable content in all those shows. So I certainly encourage people to go and have a look at that. I'm really excited to talk with you today about video and the power of video and how to get the best out of video in marketing your business. Now, Mike Morrison of the Membership Guys suggested that we get you on the interview here. And so a big shout out to Mike.
Love Mike. He's awesome.
Yeah. All right, so before we start talking about videos and marketing and all the geeky stuff, let's learn a little bit more about you, Luria. Did you envisage being on camera as much as you are as a young child?
Oh, God, no. If you told me back then, I would have run screaming. I was probably one of the shyest people you'd ever met, to be honest, before I started doing video. And people don't believe me when I say that, but it's absolutely true. People used to call me a snob in school because I was so shy that I couldn't figure out how to talk to people.
Yeah.
So video and then live video changed my entire world.
Okay. So how did you get into video then?
So I was a geek, and so I had heard about this world of podcasting back in 2005, and I honestly was just kind of like, oh, this is kind of cool. Like, anybody can have a voice now. And I didn't really want my own voice, to be honest, but I was interested in the technology and how it all works. So I started programming and started doing all this stuff with RSS feeds, which you don't need to know anything about. I started digging into that, but I needed content to actually test the whole process. And And everybody was saying, you know, just you do what you can talk about. And so I talked about tech. And so I started a technology news and review show called Geek Brief TV at the time. And I was one of the first people to have any content available on the video iPod that Apple released back in 2005 before the iPhone existed. And my audience grew quickly. And all of a sudden, I found myself with a voice and with an audience and doing things that I had never anticipated. But I'm an all-in or all-out girl. If I'm going to do something, I'm going to go full force with it. And so I saw the opportunity and that this could turn into something. And so I said, all right, let's make it a business and went that way.
Okay. And you went straight to video for the podcast?
Correct. At that time, it was just purely video, so edited video. And at the time, it was high quality. If you look at it now, it looks like crap. But, you know, it was highly produced video at the time. And then I started doing live video in 2007. So what happened was I got asked by a very big name in the tech space to co-host a TV show with him. And I had never done any TV before. And so that was a scary moment. But this was live content. And I was so scared, and I don't like not being good at something. And I was so freaked out by the concept of having to just say something and get it right the first time, because I had heavily relied on editing, that I realized through that experience, and I did fine at it, but I realized I needed to, this was a skill set I needed to improve. And so I went back home, and for my audience, I started doing weekly live shows using a tool called Ustream at the time. And then I also had a mobile app that I did like from my phone live streams on a regular basis as well. So I started just really diving into live video, and then wound up getting asked to do Panasonic would hire me to be their brand representative on their live streams, and Samsung and AT&T, we produced their stream, and I hosted it. And so there was just a lot of opportunity after opportunity after opportunity.
That's pretty exciting. Now, I'm interested, the transition from, you know, the shy, geeky girl to somebody that appears to be very comfortable in front of the camera. How did, and you talked about going back to your audience and working on your own skills there. What did you do to work on that? Was it just
did it?
Just did it, yeah.
Yeah, I care. My strength is I care about people. And that's what I base everything on. And so that's why I love live video so much, is that I can really connect with people. So that's what I focused on. And so when I just did it on a weekly basis, I did a consistent weekly show the same time and day every week. And that turned into something, you know, at first it was really raw and just kind of goofing off, and then it got structure behind it. And then, you know, I started really testing the limits of live video. And that's when it started leading to, you know, bigger opportunities with some pretty big name clients. So it's really all about the doing and the practicing. And again, like I said, I don't do anything half-heartedly, or I'm just not going to do it. So I went all in and just really pushed myself.
That's great. So there's a really strong, well, there's two clear messages there for me, for our audience. And, you know, I come across a lot of people who say, oh, I don't want to go in front of the camera, or I can't do video or so on. So there's the idea of, if you believe you can actually contribute to your audience with that and serve your audience, which is what you said, focus on that. Get over yourself, focus on your audience, and then just do it. And the practice essentially improves you, right? Test the limits, practice, and see what works and what doesn't.
100%. Now, I, because of my, so a couple things there. So yes, like when you get over, you said it perfectly, you just get over yourself. And that's really all it takes, is getting over yourself. And I have things that I hate about the way I look, the way I sound. I hate my laugh. I hate a lot of things about the way my physical appearance is. It doesn't matter. People don't see you the way you see you. And if I called out those things, you would literally be like, what are you talking about? Yeah. Right? So that's one thing to consider. And then, you know, with the practice, now that I've worked for so many years in live video on small productions, like just small little things to huge productions, multi-million dollar productions, I've learned a lot about what actually works and what doesn't. And so working with my clients and my students, I now have structure of how you can go about that to start with, right? And so I always say, take the structure of what I teach and then you add your magic on top of it, and then you start to improve from that. And that will lead you to success quicker rather than, you know, trying to hack it and just get on and practice and not know what you're saying or doing.
Hmm. All right. So we'll talk a little bit later about what you actually do there, because clearly you've developed a lot of skills there, and you've learnt what works and what doesn't, and you're still learning that in some ways as you push the technology and as technology develops, but okay. you're sharing that with others to help them shortcut the process. But I wanted to explore a little bit more about the power of video. And so talk to us a little bit about the power of video. I think, for me, it's just massive. I just wish we had a decent internet here that I could make more use of it. But the power of video, it's awesome, isn't it?
It really is. And when you think about the written word and email, and then you think about video, and then you think about live video, it just keeps stepping up in terms of the power. When you're thinking about live video specifically, you have a conversation that's happening in real time. And that is one of the most powerful things that you can use for your business, because when you were talking to people, it's the same concept of why you put a survey out for your audience, but so much more powerful. You also have maybe you've gotten on the phone with people who can feed you a little bit more information about what they're struggling with, what they need. This is the key to my success in business itself, and to create the products that people actually will pay for is that ask and that question and that conversation. For example, I know we're recording this, but tomorrow I have a live episode where I am launching soon a product called Live Video for Podcasters. And this is going to walk people through how to take their podcast and add live video to it so that it's successful. But the whole concept behind my show tomorrow, my live stream for the weekly show, is what questions you got? Bring it on. It's an open Q&A. And that teaches me so much. I do that for every product that I do. And I learn a lot from that.
Yeah, well, I think the live video has taken video to another level, hasn't it? Because as you say, you can get interaction in real time. You can get questions from the audience, which gives you a pretty good guide as to where you can take that episode, because you know what's interesting people and what they have on their mind.
Yeah.
Yeah, for me, the power of video in general is when you can see a face, when you can put a face to a name, when you can get the visual cues and read the facial expressions and so on, it enhances that whole trust relationship building process.
100%. And it's it's so much more quick, like so quick, so much more quicker to have that know, like, and trust in that environment than you do in other methods.
Hmm. All right. So tell us a little bit about the services that you offer then at Live Streaming Pros.
Well, so we have single topic workshops, and then we also do group coaching and bigger implementation programs. That's a huge focus for us in 2018. Everything that I want to do is all about implementation, making sure that my students and my clients are seeing massive results, because when they do the work that I tell them, as I'm sure you experience as well, and anybody who has, you know, any, they work with people, when they do the work, they see massive results. So I'm just trying to, you know, structure everything in 2018 around that concept. And then I also do one-on-one clients. We also do studio builds. This is something that we don't do for everybody, because it's a higher end service. But one of the things that we do is we do custom studio builds for people like Michael Hyatt and Pat Flynn and Amy Porterfield, where we go into their house or office and just build out a live video studio. Hmm. And the benefit of that is having a dedicated studio space, and you can accomplish this yourself as well, allows you that freedom to just sit down, not make any excuses, get the job done, right?
That's right, yeah.
Yeah, and that's important in anything we do in business, is to prevent ourselves from, you know, sabotaging ourselves.
Yeah.
And so then that there's that, and then you can also do webinars if you do live video setup correctly, you can actually do really great looking, what I call advanced webinars, where we actually put our visual on screen in addition to the slides, and you're hopping back and forth. It's a really visual, engaging presentation. And we get conversion rates of 34% very consistently.
Yeah, I've seen some of those. They're pretty awesome presentations. Now, that does require a fair bit of hardware, does it?
Yeah, so we would call that a level 4 setup. So the four levels of live streaming, you have the phone on level 1. Then on level 2, you have browser-based platforms like Facebook.com. Going live from there, or Be Live. Level 3 would be like Ecamm, which is a $29 program for your Mac, or Wirecast. And level 4 would be a dedicated PC setup using a software like vMix. You do have a bit of an investment at that level. It depends on what you already have in your world, right? So there's not one like hard level or hard price for what that would cost. But, you're looking at a few $1,000s to get started on that.
All right. And that's for live video. So the...
Live, recorded, and webinars, anything that you want to do with video, you can do with that setup.
Hmm. Yeah, but the recorded videos you can do on camera plus slides more easily, because you've got the editing that happens in between.
Right, but what's beautiful about having, if you set up for live, then what you can do is you can actually do what we would refer to as live to drive, and where you're actually recording, but you're not live, but you do all of the, you can literally hit a couple of buttons with this kind of setup, and you're switching back and forth between your slides and your video. And if you you can edit it later for sure, but for the most part, all of that editing time is done live, not live to social media, but live to your drive.
Okay. Yeah, I got it.
Does that make sense?
Yeah. No, I got that. So, okay. I have to look at a new toy, I think.
I know, right? Yeah. it's powerful. And what our clients wind up finding is that, you know, because if you ever hire a videography crew or things like that, you wind up saving on that kind of money because you're able to do it yourself and most of it in while you're producing it, as opposed to having to highly edit everything after the fact. But
all right, now you've also started a series of videos on YouTube talking about a live product launch. I thought that was quite fascinating. So you're basically going behind the scenes as you and David put together this new product and sharing your learnings and the ups and downs.
Yeah, we call it The Launch, and it's a vlog-style weekly show, and this is recorded as opposed to live. But it's part of what we teach when it comes to creating buzz around your launches, whether that's a product launch, a service launch, a book, an event, whatever you got. And so in February 2018, we will be releasing a product called Live Video for Launches, which teaches you how to do that.
That's very meta, isn't it?
I know, it really gets meta. But this takes you behind the scenes. It kind of shows you the process of what it takes to go through a launch. And the thing that we're doing with that is kind of a test, because that's the type of stuff I do with live video and has proven to work fantastically well. The vlog, the recorded vlog, isn't something that I've done in the past. And so that's an addition and a test for us.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, one of the things that struck me looking through all the information is that you've got masses and masses of content. So, and I always challenge my customers and people I talk to produce more content. Some people find it really challenging. So I wonder what kind of advice you can give to people who struggle to produce content from somebody who's got masses of it.
I have no problem producing content, that's for sure. And I think once you, I know that this is a fear and a hurdle for a lot of people, but once you get past the two things, you have plenty to say. If you are, if you start paying attention, the problem that you have is that you are in your own head and you already know everything that you talk about. You have to get out of your head. You have to get over yourself on video, and you have to get out of your freaking head, and you have to start thinking like your customer or your audience and wonder what they're wondering. And that's why you can ask so effectively. But the two things are, one, start journaling. Like, just have one journal that goes with you everywhere. You could do it Evernote style as well, but every time you think of anything to do with the topic that you talk about, write it down. And that starts to teach you, oh, I could talk about this. Oh, there's this. Oh, and look at your frequently asked questions. I mean, there's so much space for content, and you have way more content in you than you even imagine. Once I learned that, you couldn't stop me. The second thing I would say is repetition is not only okay, it's necessary. And I think that's where people get hung up. They feel like once they talk about something once, they can't ever talk about it again. And that's just 100% completely untrue and inaccurate. You have to repeat. There's so much noise online. If you are not repeating, you are doing your audience a disservice.
That's fabulous advice. I really like that last bit. Repetition is actually necessary. Not just okay, it's necessary. You have permission to repeat things.
And you don't have to repeat it the same way every time, right?
That's right. I was just going to point that out. It's the same. It's perhaps the same content or similar content or same message, but not identical.
Yeah. And if you, I mean, if you were to dig into, you know, my video library, and we curate content on my website, we don't post everything, and we constantly remove content just because we create so much of it. But we, if you were to dig in and you just search one topic, like messenger bots, there's a, there are 2 pages worth of content on messenger bots. And it's slightly different angles to the same topic, but different people can hear things at different times and they need to hear it in a different way. So you're going to catch the right people at the right time.
Yeah, that's right. And also things change in the internet space, right? So there might be a new technique or new product that comes out related to messenger bots in that example, and so you can talk about that and how that stacks up against what's there already or what you've talked about in the past.
100%.
And the other thing I liked about what you said, of course, is being consistent about it and listening to the client. I mean, we're going through an exercise at the moment of revamping our entire internal documentation and process documentation, and some of it is I looked at a couple the other day and I thought, oh, this is all pretty basic stuff. It's probably going a bit overkill to document it. And then I thought, well, hang on, these things could actually be blog posts, because whilst we consider it pretty basic, most people wouldn't necessarily know how to do it, or if they do figure out how to do it, they might be doing it a much more complicated way. And so if they had this step-by-step guide, it'd actually be really helpful to them.
Yeah.
So there's all this stuff that we know that we kind of take for granted, and it's of huge value to other people.
I couldn't agree more. You said it perfectly.
Yeah. All right. So do you also teach professional production? Because coming back to our little discussion earlier about the equipment, one of the things I always find a bit challenging doing a webinar is being focused on the presentation and the audience and audience questions, and then kind of running the system in the background or multitasking and running the system.
Yeah, we teach all of that. And, you know, the thing that I would say that we can do in the time that we have here is that layering complexity is massively important when it comes to technology for live video. Live video is very processor heavy. Like it's hard on your computer. And so if you're going live from your computer, you need to take that into consideration, and a 4-year-old computer just isn't going to do the job. And so that's one thing to consider, but also from a workflow perspective, like you're mentioning, it's a multitasking skill that you've got to learn. And so we have tricks and tools that we use to help you do it more efficiently as a one-person band, you know, like one-person show. But when you layer complexity, when you start with something and then you just, the next week you add something on top of that, and then the next week you add something on top of that, or maybe 2 weeks later, you spend 2 weeks getting really good at something and then you add something else, right? When you do that, you're going to be way more successful than trying to jump into the deep end and like do all the things.
Yeah, that's great advice. That's actually the adult learning model where you know, you become comfortable doing one thing, and that then becomes almost unconscious, so that you can take on something else consciously at the same time.
Yeah.
Great advice. Now, so you also have a membership site?
We're revamping that into group coaching moving forward. So it will still be membership based, but it's more targeted than maybe you would consider a membership site.
So it's more focused on product. So the content you have in terms of the training is kind of more product structured.
Correct. Yeah. So we call them workshops. You would call them courses. Most people call them courses, but workshops or implementation programs at a higher level. And then we have the group coaching, and then we're going to introduce a mastermind as well, a group mastermind that's going to be really limited to like 10 people.
Mm-hmm.
So, and then I did a lot of one-on-one client work throughout 2017 and 2018. I'm actually removing that for the most part, so I can focus on the groups.
Yeah. Yeah, that makes sense. And you get a lot more leverage that way, right?
Yeah. And I just, you know, it's all about tweaking and adjusting where you want to spend your time. And my time right now is better spent on creating the programs and doing the group stuff. And I'll come back to one-on-ones because I really enjoy that. But I just decided for 2018, it's really not the best use of my time.
Yeah. Put it on the back burner for a year.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. So in terms of the business then, is there something that really worries you and keeps you awake at night?
The fact that I don't have an assistant. So we have a team, but I feel like I kind of hired backwards maybe. And so I am in desperate need of an assistant. And so that's my next move, is that's what keeps me awake, is because I'm just overwhelmed and overloaded because we had such huge growth in 2017, that it just kept piling and piling and piling. So the overwhelm is massive.
Yeah. Oh, that's, shouldn't be too difficult to solve that.
No, I just need to do it and, you know, take that action. And the, you know, it's one of those things that you, like, I wanted to hire and grow inside the business and the team members that I already had and grow what they were doing. First and foremost, that's one of the things that we did in 2017, was one of my team members was doing one thing completely different in 2016, and we completely shifted his job description to be more effective inside the business. So, you know, it's all about those tweaks and constant paying attention, reading Michael Hyatt's Free to Focus program and the book The Big Leap by Gay Hendricks were two big things that happened this year where I was like, okay, I really need to shift.
All right, I'm just writing those down. So what was Michael Hyatt's program?
Free to Focus.
Free to Focus, okay. So we'll post some links in that and dig them up and post links to that in the show notes if people want to check those out.
Perfect.
Okay, well, this is really fascinating. I could kind of dig a lot deeper into this, but I want to be respectful of your time as well, and also I don't want to take away from your programs. So let's move on to the Buzz, which is our innovation round designed to help our audience who are primarily leaders and innovators in their field with some tips from your experience. So I've got 5 questions and hopefully you'll have something really insightful to contribute and inspire everyone to do something awesome.
No pressure.
No, none at all. What's the number one thing you think anyone needs to do to be more innovative?
Pay attention. Pay attention to things that are happening around you and just be aware. And I used to get into a huge bubble in my business, and that really, I missed a lot that was going on just because of that, because of overwhelm or something. This was years ago, but that was a big hurtful decision.
Yeah, it's fascinating, isn't it? People kind of put themselves under pressure with whatever's going on inside their business, or maybe they've got some worries on a personal level, but they kind of forget to get outside and go see what's going on with other people.
So many ideas can come from that, and just being aware.
All right. Now, what's the best thing you've done to develop new ideas or new products?
The best thing that two things. One, I take time to just allow my brain to just be quiet, call it meditation, call it concentration, call it just exercise, call it whatever you want to call it. But just I've learned to take time for myself, which is a really, really, really hard thing for me to do. But also on the opposite side, using the whole live video method to just ask and talk to people and get to understand where they're coming from. Those two things make massive differences to my business and the innovation process.
All right. That's great. Two great ideas there. I mean, I can relate to the first one. Definitely. I find that if I'm out on my own on the bike, so I'm a keen bike rider, I generally come back with a half a dozen ideas.
Yeah.
And half the time they're pretty good ideas. You know, they actually lead to something. Although, you know, having said that, obviously an idea is only as good as you getting on and doing something about it. So,
sure.
But the live video, you know, that comes, relates, I guess, to your first point about, you know, paying attention to what's happening around you and asking people, sort of exploring things.
Yeah, I guess those two things kind of go hand in hand too, yeah.
All right, so maybe I know the answer to this. What's your favorite tool or system for improving your own productivity and allowing you to be more innovative?
Well, I'll stop talking about live video, but the tool that we actually started using recently is called Task World, and it's a smaller company, but it's a combination of Trello and Slack. And it has a lot of cool features, and it's like an all-in-one, and we started using that. It has a couple of quirks, but it's really helped us get productive in the business.
Okay, sounds fascinating. I'm going to have to go and check that, but shiny new widget alert for everybody. Don't sort of get distracted from whatever it is you're doing, but certainly we will have a link to that in the show notes, so thanks. So what's the best way to keep a project on track?
I just constant check-ins with myself is what I've discovered, but honestly, I can't say that I'm the best at that because of the whole overwhelm thing, you know? Mm. I get stuff done because that's just my mode of operation. But I also feel like things get easily off track and I have to constantly kind of re-wrangle. So my solution has been to just constantly check back in with myself, like, is this leading to where my ultimate goal is? And having those goals in place really helps that process.
Mm, great advice. Yeah, checking in and keeping the goal in mind is an important point there, I think. And certainly, I mean, the amount of content and stuff that you put out, and it's all really great stuff that I've seen.
Thank you.
I haven't had the time to look at it all. There's so much there. But definitely the stuff I've seen is really great. So, you know, you can't be too hard on yourself.
Right.
All right. Now, what's the number one thing anyone can do to differentiate themselves?
Number one thing to differentiate yourself. I would say the number one thing that I do, and that's, I guess, where I would go with other people, is to push and try different things. Like, I mean, when you're thinking about differentiating yourself, you've got to have a different angle, but it's really all about your take on it. And the way we do that is we are constantly pushing the limits and trying new strategies and exploring new ideas, whether they work or whether they don't work. At least we've gained more knowledge that can differentiate ourselves. You know what I mean?
Mm. Yeah, great advice. So, and definitely putting your own kind of flavor onto the things that you might find and represent.
It's all about you, what I call your magic. You know, that thing about you that people are going to be appealing or is going to be appealing to people. And that's why people pay attention to you. is because they like you.
That's right. And of course, with video, they can get to know you much more quickly and decide whether they like you or not. So it helps everybody. All right. So what's the future for you then and for live streaming pros? And you've also got the Geeks Life. I don't think we've really touched on that much today.
Actually, I handed that off to my partner, David. I don't do that anymore.
Okay, yeah.
That was a huge thing for me. I guess it was really early 2017 that I did that. That was my tech show. And I got so burnt out over it. And I was just like, I don't want to do this anymore. I really love what I'm doing at Live Streaming Pros. And so I stopped doing that and allowed me to focus heavily on what I really loved. So I don't do that, but future.
Yeah, the future.
The future for me is really growth in terms of implementation programs. I know I've said that, but that's a huge focus for me. And I think that that's an important thing to think about going into, the next year, is that there are so many courses online and so many, things vying for our attention. I literally, myself, I have 5-6 different programs that I've bought this year that I still haven't taken or gone through. And I think that's a huge problem in the industry. And so my focus is really all about that making sure that people are getting movement forward. Because I don't want people buying my stuff if they're not going to get results,
Yeah.
It's not interesting at all.
Yeah.
So that's the future for me is that growth in that direction. Mm. And probably a book down the road, hopefully.
Oh, we'll keep our eye out for that. Yeah, I think, I agree with you. And I've had the same experience. I think I've got about 2 courses that I've got parked, and I thought, well, maybe over Christmas I can dedicate some time to catch up on those. But yeah, I've spent money on the courses, and then it's just so much to do and so many things. So I probably should be disciplined and not buy the courses if I'm not committed to finish them.
I think that's a big thing, is that people are really starting to look at should I even buy things? I'm not going through them,
which is a challenge if you're marketing a course, right? Uh-huh. But I mean, for me, because you said something before about being really focused, and you've handed off the Geek's Life thing to focus on the thing that you love the most and the thing that you get the most value out of your time, perhaps. But and maybe it needs to be turned around on the courses side as well, focus on that which provides the most value. But then you've got to, the people providing the courses have got to be really clear about their target audience.
For sure.
Which is a big thing.
It's a hard thing to nail down if you're just starting or if you're in transition or anything like that. But it took me about 2 to 3 months. I changed my audience by focusing on, I had at the beginning of the year, I had one particular kind of audience, and 2-3 months later, after really focusing on changing that and targeting the right people, I was able to change my entire audience and get the people in there that I wanted. So it's possible. It's not easy, but it's possible.
Yeah. That's great advice though. And that you can actually define that audience and then work towards attracting them.
But you got to know who you're going for.
You got to know who you're going for. That's right. It's got to be a good fit, and what you have to offer has to be a good fit. All right. Well, this has been great. What's the number one piece of advice you'd then give to any business owner who wants to be a leader in innovation?
Just don't focus so much on necessarily the hows or the whats or the, don't focus so much on the how you're going to get it done. Just start doing it. Just dig in.
Just do it. Yeah. Great advice.
Nike has something going.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. I was just thinking, it's looking at the little hockey stick.
Yeah.
All right. This has been absolutely fabulous, Luria. Where can people reach out and say thank you?
I would love to have you join us on our live show. We're live every Monday, or sorry, I don't even know when we're live apparently. Every Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday at 10 a.m. Pacific. And you can find the details about where we're live at livestreamingpros.com. Well, livestreamingpros.live will get you there.
All right. Okay. Well, we'll definitely post links to those under the show notes as well and encourage our audience to connect with you on the live shows. I think 10 a.m. Pacific time works pretty well in Australia, but we do have an audience all around the world, so we'll see how that works.
Yeah, I tried to do it because we do have a big Australian audience. They don't always make it live, but, you know, it's a little early in the morning, I think, for you guys. It's like 5 or 6 a.m.
Oh, okay. All right. It's not a problem for me, but maybe for some.
Yeah. Some people it is.
Yeah. All right. Finally, then, who would you like me to interview on a future Innova Buzz podcast and why?
You know, one of the person that comes to mind is this book, Profit First. Mike, and I have no idea how to say his last name. I'm going to screw it up, so I'm not even going to try. But Mike from Profit First has a very innovative way of looking at finances in your business. It's one thing that I'm trying to work on in my business and restructure the way I do finances. And so that Profit First book is a fantastic thing, and I think he'd be amazing.
All right. Well, I'll have a look. I think I've come across that book. I haven't read it, though. I'll go and find that. And Mike, we're coming to get you courtesy of Luria Petrucci. All right. Well, thanks so much for sharing your time and insights with us today on the Innova Buzz podcast, Luria. I've really enjoyed this. I think it's been a great expose of the value of video and the value of live video, and with some wonderful tips on how to do some things and most importantly on just getting over yourself and get it going ahead and doing it.
For sure. Thank you so much for having me, and I would love to hear from you guys listening what one thing is that you took away from this. So hit me up on social and let me know.
There you go. There's an invitation to give some feedback, and that's the principle number one, paying attention and asking questions. So we'll certainly be inviting comments on our blog as well. So,
fantastic.
Thanks again, Luria. I wish you all the best for the live streaming pros and the new product launch, and let's keep in touch.
Really appreciate you having me on.
I hope you enjoyed hearing from Luria as much as I enjoyed this interview. With all the great advice Luria shared, I also hope you will be inspired to produce content and start sharing that via video. All the ideas and tips that Luria shared with us can be found at innovabiz.com.au/livestreampros. That is LIVESTREAMPROS. All lowercase, all one word, innovabiz.com.au/livestreampros. You'll also find contact information for getting in touch with Luria there, as well as links to the many things we talked about. Luria invited us all to share your biggest takeaway from this episode in the comments section of the blog post, and she'd love to have a conversation with you. Luria suggested I interview Mike Michalowicz, author of Profit First, on a future Innova Buzz podcast. So Mike, keep an eye on your inbox for an invitation from us to the Innova Buzz podcast, courtesy of Luria Petrucci of Live Streaming Pros. To my listeners, if you haven't already done so, head on over to iTunes or Stitcher or Pocket Casts and subscribe to the Innova Buzz podcast so you'll never miss a future episode. Now, if you haven't yet left us a review, then we'd really love to get your feedback, and the reviews, they help let us know how we're doing. If there's anything you'd like us to cover or questions you want answered on a future Innova Buzz podcast, or indeed guests you'd like us to interview, please send those ideas to us. Until next time, I'm Jürgen Strauss from InnovaBiz. Remember to be awesome and keep innovating.